we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast here on Friday, January the 20th, 2017. And we want to start off this day by praying for the safety of everyone involved in the inaugural process. One thing is evident, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, this is a country that is greatly divided philosophically, and there is a much larger contingent of people now who are willing to become borderline violent if they don't get their way. And so we want to pray. We want to pray for safety. Samuel Rodriguez, that is going to be praying the inaugural prayer. He is an Assemblies of God minister, and so we're pretty excited about that. God has opened that door. He's the president of the National Hispanic Association of Churches, and has been given a very, very great honor in being able to pray for the president of the United States of America. And so let's pray that God will provide for a safe and glorious day for our president. Father, we just come to you right now, and we do pray for safety. Lord, I pray for cooler heads to prevail. I pray, God, that you would give wisdom from heaven. Lord, Solomon came. He was asleep, and you came to him in a dream, and you said, "Ask of me anything that you would want." And he said, "I'm going to need wisdom to govern this great people." And I pray, God, that you would give our government officials, our president, just like we've prayed for our other presidents, God, we pray for their protection. We pray for a personal relationship with you. We pray for wisdom from on high, and we pray for righteousness to be exalted in the United States of America. Lord, I pray that this would be a glorious day, and I pray that it would be a day that launches us, Lord, to a path back to the heartbeat of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So we are coming today. We're in Isaiah chapter 60. I do want to remind you, we have church this coming Sunday. We got a lot of exciting things that are coming up. We've got a wing contest coming up on our Sunday night service, February the 5th. I've never really made chicken wings, but I'm going to give it the old college try. So there should be lots of things going on. I know it's not just going to be chicken wings that are there. Other people are bringing other things. If you have no interest in watching a football game, there is going to be a halftime presentation that we make. It's not going to be Lady Gaga. It's not going to be what is on the television, but we're going to be having some fellowship and having some wings, and we'll present a little award for whoever has the best wings, as voted upon the connoisseurs and the culinary experts who have tasted and sampled all of the products and say, "That was my favorite, that was my second favorite, that was my third favorite." So let's get into the word today. I will be preaching Sunday night. We will be having a guest speaker Sunday morning. My wife and I will be out of town Sunday morning. We'll be coming back in town Sunday afternoon. So we want to encourage you to come out and be a part of that, 6:30 this week. Also, Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 12 o'clock, this will be the last time that it meets at 12 o'clock. The Fuel Men's Ministry will be meeting in the brand new addition at the Sunnys on Merritt Island in that meeting room there. Last week, they had standing room only, I was told. I was unable to make it due to some last-minute scheduling changes. But it'll meet 12 to 1, and then the following week it will begin meeting at 11 a.m. to 12. So if you're a man looking for some fellowship in the area, come and partake in that. It'll be a blessing to you. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 60. We're going to be here a while. Yesterday we started with verse number 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Yesterday we had started with verse number 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." And I want to point out that in my Bible it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," and that is an exclamation point. We have way too many people in this world that are attracted to other people and their giftings or their charisma, their personality. But here God is saying for us to arise and shine, and the exclamation for that, the reason for that, is because our light has come, and that is our relationship with Jesus. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us. That makes all the difference in the world. When we gather for church this week, may it be the presence of the living God that makes the difference. May it be the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. May it be the empowering of the Holy Spirit that comes. May it be the fact that Jesus is exalted in our services that impacts our community. It says that as we are commanded to do this, that we are commanded to do this, we're strongly encouraged to do this because of the condition of our world. Listen to what it says. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Okay, let me read that to you again. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Now, let me read this verse to you. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." Let me turn over to John chapter 1 and read another passage of scripture to you. Take me just a second to get over there. Went from the first book of the Old Testament on up into the New Testament. And it says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or cannot overcome it." The darkness was meant to flee. Jesus, the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1 hovered over the chaos and the emptiness and the void and the darkness. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In John chapter 1, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." As we're talking about your light has come, I want you to understand that it is not just the lumens. It is not just the brightness that you could see in a light bulb, but the light that we have is life as well. And it says that the light in John chapter 1, verse number 5, light is intended to shine in the darkness. I don't like eating in the dark. I generally don't like things really dark in my living room especially if we're watching a movie or something on television, because I've tripped in the darkness. The darkness is a stumbling block to me. It is a place where I can be injured because I cannot accurately see the obstacles that might be in my path. And so whenever I am in that situation, I make a choice, and that is this. I turn on the light. I ask for the light to come and fill the room, and as soon as the switch is hit, darkness begins to flee. I saw something that says, do you realize that light has no shadow? There's no darkness in it. And so I just want to encourage you today that you were meant not just for your comfort, but you were meant to pierce the darkness. The reflection of the light and the life of Jesus Christ inside of you, inside of our church, inside of our personalities, it is meant to impact the darkness, not the darkness impact the light. I get a little tired of the darkness prevailing over light. That bothers me. I think that the people who are the most influential in our community should not be the richest. It should not be the most politically powerful. It should not be the most famous or the most beautiful, but it should be the people who know their God. Those are the people who should be influencing our community to the greatest extent. And so it says, and behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. But listen to this. It doesn't stop there. It is not just an atmospheric condition. It goes on to say, and a deep darkness, the people. It talks about a deep darkness that covers the people. In my devotions, I've just recently come through Exodus and the plagues. And there was a plague of darkness that covered the earth, and it became excruciatingly painful for the people. The darkness itself caused them torment. The devil wants you to dwell in the darkest of darkness. He wants to create a situation where you think that it is absolutely hopeless. And in the midst of all that hopelessness, God says, have I got a surprise for you? I've got a people that I'm going to cause the light and the life of Jesus Christ to shine brightly in, and they are going to be ambassadors of Christ into the deepest of darkness. I've shared this before. I'll take you to the Epistle of Jude. It is the book that is right before the book of Revelation. Verse number 5, there's only one chapter. It says, but I want to remind you that you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. One of the things that is actually described is in the Greek is it is darkness. It is a term that is repeated twice. It is the very darkest of dark places. There are a lot of people today who are living in extreme spiritual darkness because they have abandoned the position that God had for them. They abandoned the position, the home, the dwelling place, the place of authority that God has. I strongly encourage you, when God has blessed you with something, for you not to abandon that, chasing after a fantasy that the enemy has for you, instead of finding greater freedom or greater blessing or greater joy, you will find the darkest darkness that you will ever have ever been in your life. So many times the devil will come and try and tempt believers to abandon their faith for some folly or pleasure that this world has to offer, and I want you to know it's a trap. It is a trap. See, once you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, everything else that you try and taste is going to be a very poor comparison. It is not going to leave you with that pleasant taste in your mouth like you thought it would. Instead, it will be toxic. It's going to leave you with greater depression. It's going to leave you with greater joy, and it will blind you. I've had conversations with people who in their walk with God, they abandoned the faith and they thought it would just be for a little while. They thought that it would be some place that they could just go and do their own thing. But instead, what they found was that they had placed themselves in a position of misery, that it was such a miserable place, and they thought that they could just saunter out or just take a little stroll out of the darkness the same way that they got into the darkness. But instead, they found themselves imprisoned by the darkness, and it took years. It took a miraculous intervention from God to get them back to where they understood the love and the grace of Jesus Christ again. Today, if you are living in darkness, if you've got family members that are living in darkness, I want you to know that that is not God's plan. His plan is for that darkness to be broken. It involves the hovering of the Holy Spirit. If you've got family members that are living in darkness, I ask you to pray for them. And ask the Holy Spirit to just hover over their life, to order their steps to where everywhere they go, they encounter another Christian. That, you see, when I'm praying for unsaved loved ones, I'm not looking just for Bob to be able to be the one to lead them to Jesus. For me, that is the least of my desires. What it is I want them to know Jesus. I want them to know the light of Jesus, the life of Jesus, and I don't really care who God uses to bring them out of the darkness. I just want them back home in the kingdom of God. There is a term for pilots that's called shepherding. And a shepherd pilot is for a pilot that there's been some damage to their ship, or they've lost some instrumentation, or they've lost communication with the tower that would direct them how to get home. And so they would send up another pilot in a plane who would go up and locate where they are, and he would shepherd them. He would lead them back to that place. I pray that we would get off of the flight deck and we would arise and we would shine and we would realize that there are people bound in darkness that God wants to set free. Because, listen, it says, "And deep, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth in deep darkness, the people, but the Lord will arise over you." I love it when I see that conjunction. A conjunction is the word "and," or it's the word "but." It means there's a transition that is taking place. "And" means that there's going to be supplemented to the reality that has already been discussed. "But" means that even though there's one reality, there is a contrasting reality. There is a better hope, a better future. And it says that even though that it would be a universal darkness, even though it would be a deep darkness that would veil and blind the hearts of the people, that God says, "But the Lord will arise over you." So when you see "arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you," understand that the Lord comes in all of his glory. You see, I am not just looking for a Savior. I'm looking for my Lord. I'm not just looking for my Savior. I'm looking for the fact that he's Lord over my physical body and he's my healer. I'm not looking for just a Savior who is going to deliver me from hell, but I'm looking for a provider who is going to provide everything that I have need, that he is my exceeding great reward. I am not just looking for a Savior who will deliver me from the trap. I am looking for a shepherd who will lead me and guide me. And when he comes in all of his glory. I encourage you today that if you are surrounded by people who are living in darkness, that God has strategically placed you for such a time as this, that just as the sun arises and the darkness flees on our horizon, that God says, I have placed you here because I intend to bring light where darkness is prevailing. And that happens when the Lord rises upon you, and the Lord will arise over you. Can you declare that over your own person today, that the Lord and the glory of the Lord will arise upon me? That's a tremendous promise. Darkness everywhere, but the glory of the Lord and the Lord of glory is going to arise upon me. Okay? And his glory will be seen upon you. You see, there are a lot of people that say, I don't want to force my faith upon anybody. You know what? I pray that your life is so glorious that people are going to see what is going on in you. And their eyes are going to be open. I had some eye surgery last year in 2016. I had eye surgery in 2015, a different surgery in 2016, and both of them had challenges on their own. One of them was laser retinal reattachment surgery. It was to reattach something that had ripped apart, and if I hadn't done that, I would have lost the vision completely in that eye. And when I went in for that surgery, they had this needle, and I said, I just don't want to see that needle going into my eye. And they said, you won't. I did. I just didn't think too much about that. I thought a lot about it at the time. It's like, oh, I'm so thankful that they numbed that and I can't feel that. But when I went in for this other surgery, they said, okay, we're gonna have to give you some anesthetic so we can prepare your eye for surgery. And when you open your eye, when we wake you up, you are going to see a very bright light. And they weren't kidding. They had my eye just forcibly pried open, and there was nothing that I could see but light. And the first thing that popped into my mind when I opened my eye, because I heard the instructions, I really just didn't give it much consideration. But when I opened my eye and I saw that big bright light, that the only thing that I could think of was an old interrogation back from movies where they were trying to force a confession out of somebody, and they would keep them in a dark room and shine a bright light in their face and until they would confess. And so when I saw that light, I said, I didn't do it. And they said, yeah, that's what they all say. And I said, no, I've got a really, really good alibi. I under anesthetic, I'm a practical joker. But I pray today that people who are living in darkness, that the glory of the Lord would arise over you so that it would be a completely different atmosphere. When the iris of your eye, it expands and contracts depending upon the level of light that is in the room. And so if you are in a very bright area, your iris will contract. It won't let too much light in. But if you are in a dark place, then the iris opens up because it needs more light coming in just to be able to see. And if we've got a community, if we've got a world that is living in the deepest of darkness, I want you to understand that their iris is doing all that it can to try and perceive light. And God is getting ready to cause them to see like they've never been able to see before. As the glory of the Lord rises upon husbands in this community, as the glory of the Lord arises upon wives, and the glory of the Lord arises upon workers at church and grants them, or in the workplace, and gives them favor, as the glory of the Lord is arisen over our houses of worship, our churches here in the community, that people are going to be able to see the difference between light and darkness. I can tell you right now that there are people in other parts of the world that have been living under Islam for their entire life. There are more Muslims putting their faith in Jesus Christ right now than any time that I have heard about in recent memory, as they have been living under that oppression and the darkness that has prevailed in their countries and in their governments. They are now finding Christians. There are people who are going to other that are seeking asylum in other countries. And guess where they're finding that asylum? They're finding it in churches, and people are sharing their faith. I can tell you that there are massive numbers of Muslims who have lived in darkness who are now seeing the light and the life of Jesus Christ. If it can happen there, folks, it can happen here. Don't deceive yourself to think that there is no spiritual need in America. America is in desperate need for the light of Jesus Christ to come into this community. And I pray that Brevard County would be a platform that God could use and say, I'm going to have the glory of the Lord rise over my preachers and over the Sunday school teachers and the people who are attending church and Christians when they go to work. The glory of the Lord is going to arise upon them, and the people who are living in darkness will see a great light, and the darkness will not be able to overpower it. I pray that that this weekend that you will have a life-altering encounter with God, that He will share things with you from God's word that will cause His face to shine upon you brighter, so that when you go to work on Monday, it's not, oh no, we got to go to work. It is, yes, we get to go defeat the kingdom of darkness because our Savior is the light of the world. Father, I just pray right now, God, that every believer listening to the sound of my voice, Lord, you would use us for your glory, that people living in darkness would see how much you love them. In Jesus' name, see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Sing to be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.